Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas of Imoi, Rav David Siben, Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Tainis, daf Yud. We are at the very top of Tainis, daf Yud. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabban, our rabbis taught in a brisa. Eretz Yisrael nivreis tchila, v'chala olam kulo nivra l'besof. Eretz Yisrael was created first, and everything else was created after it. Shneamar, pasukin Mishle, ad lo asa eretz v'chutzos. The Torah was created before the land was created, and the rest of the land, chutzos, like chutz la'aretz. Eretz Yisrael mashkos HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Eretz Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the rain by himself. V'kol ha'olam kulo al-yedei shaliach. Everywhere else, Hashem actually gives them rain, not directly, but through an intermediary. Sh'nemar ha'nosin matar al-pnei eretz, v'sholeach mayim al-pnei chutzos. Ha'nosin matar al-pnei eretz, but he sends the water everywhere else. So I guess the Gemara that we had earlier, that there's three keys that Hashem did not give over to anybody else, that was really in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael shosem me gishamim, v'chala olam kulo mitamtzis. Eretz Yisrael gets the main rain in the clouds, and the rest of the world gets the leftovers. Shenem ha'nusin matar al pnei eretz, v'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos. Eretz Yisrael shosem tchila, v'chala olam kulo lebesof, shenem ha'nusin matar al pnei eretz, v'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos. Mashal, this can be compared to l'adam shemigabel sagvina, a person who's making cheese. And the way you make cheese is you take milk and you could separate the curds from the whey. So megabel sagvina notel saochel, you take the curds, umeineach es apsolis, and you leave the liquid there. A couple of things about what we just read. Get rid of the bells. A couple things. First of all, we learned before that Eretz Yisrael was created first, and the rest of the world was created later, and that Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, waters it himself, but the rest of the world, he waters Zayidei Shliach. This is reminiscent of a Ramban. The Ramban in the end of Achrimos writes that there's a Hashem appoints in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem takes care of it himself directly, not through a malach, but every other land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints a malach who's in charge of all those other lands. But Eretz Yisrael, he's in charge of it himself. That's why we find, he says this on the pasuk, that Eretz Yisrael spits out its inhabitants when they don't behave properly, the Torah says, because that's Hashem's running it himself. So Eretz Yisrael is more sensitive to Averos. And that's also, the Ramban over there explains why Yaakov was allowed to marry two sisters outside of the land of Israel. The Ramban there even says that a tremendous chiddush that the Gra disagrees with, but a tremendous chiddush that even mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael mean more. He even writes the tefillin and mezuzah. It's unbelievable that he writes that we who put on tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz were just practicing for doing it in Eretz Yisrael. Very strange idea. But the Ramban says somehow that's because the ruchnius in Eretz Yisrael is stronger. In terms of Eretz Yisrael, the world being created first, there's the Chasam Sofer in Reish Lamed Daled, where the Chasam Sofer says, I'm sorry, in terms of Eretz Yisrael, being created first. So the Chasam Sofer in Reish Lamed Daled doesn't refer to that directly, but he says there is a Gemara that says that Eretz Yisrael is gavoa mikola arotzos. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands. Now, of course, it doesn't just mean spiritually higher, but it sounds like it means like it's physically higher. And the Chasam Sofer says, what do you mean? If you take a ball, so the earth is round, what does that mean that one place is higher than the rest of it? It's in a circle, it's in a sphere. So he says, based on the same idea of this Gemara, he says it means that since the whole world was created from Eretz Yisrael, it was the starting point for the rest of the universe, so that's what it means, it was higher. Not that it's actually Eretz Yisrael has places on it, that's the lowest places on earth, the Dead Sea, etc. But he says it means that since the, like our Gemara says, that the world was created from Eretz Yisrael, so that's what it means, it's higher, that it's the Nikudat Motza, it's the place that the rest of the world came from, so in that sense, it's the beginnings of the rest of the world.
Is that why we say we make it?
Okay. Aliyah, exactly right. That's why. That's why we say we make Aliyah. And this that we learned earlier that So the Emek Bracha also uses this to explain. I just happened to be listening yesterday. Rabbi Rosner quoted this. The Emek Bracha says, you know, the Gemara in Megillah says that you don't say Hallel on a nace that happened in Chutz Laaretz, right? That's one of the reasons why we don't say Halal on Purim, right? We're still the Avdei Achashverosh, maybe the Megillah is the Halal. And the third answer, the Gemara says, Megillah is you don't say Halal on a nace that happened in Chutz Laaretz. I Oz Yashir, that's before they got to Eretz Yisrael. But once they got to Eretz Yisrael, you no longer say Halal on a nace that happened in Chutz Laaretz. So that's why Chanukah we do, but Purim we don't, because Purim happened in Chutz Laaretz. So what does that mean? So the Emek Bracha says that somehow a miracle means more in Eretz Yisrael because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's backyard. That's where he's running it directly. So the Siyata Dishmaya that you get over there is more.
So Sukkot was seeing that as the same as Pesach, as being happening before the
Rambam study. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't really say Halal on Sukkot because of a nace. We say Halal on Sukkot because of a... That's not Halal al Anes. That's Halal of Yontif. It's a different. It's a Simchas Yontif. It's a different Halal. I didn't say good morning to everybody. So good morning, Avi, Dr. Joe, Yitzchak, Rabbi Eliezer Dov, Shmuel, Gershon Eitan, Tzvika, Shlomo David Yoshua, Jeremy, and Reuben. So let's continue. Says the Gemara. Amamar, mimatken hin ba'avin. We learned in yesterday's daf, machlokes, whether or not all the rain comes from the oceans down here on the earth, it goes up and then comes back down, or no, it all comes from a source on high. So if you say it came from down here, the Gemara says, aye, why isn't it salty? So the Gemara says it gets sweetened in the clouds. Mimatken hin ba'avin. Minale, how do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rayosim, Rabbi Yochanan. Ksiv, chesh chasmaim ovei shchakim. One place it says cheshchas, and in Shmuel it says chashras. So these two words sound very similar, just difference between a chaf and a resh. So shkol kaf v'shadi aresh. Take these two words, put them together. V'kari be chach sharas. Yeah, what is chach sharas? Chach sharach means hach sharas, that the avei shchakim, the clouds, prepare the rain. It sweetens the rain. Rabbi Yeshua b'haikra mai dashibu. Rabbi Yeshua, who says you don't need the clouds to sweeten the rain, they came from up there. So what does he do with these psukim? Savala kihad chiyasa ravdim yamar amar rava. Anani zeirin mohi. When you have the soft clouds, there's very little rain, the white clouds. Chashoch anani, I'm sorry, nohor anani. If the clouds are pretty white, pretty clear, zeirin mohi, then the rain will be a little bit from them. But chashoch hanani, but if it's chesh chas mayim, it's choshech, if it's clouds are darker, then sagin mohi. They're going to have a lot of rain from them. Says the Gemara, keman az lahad desanya mayim hoel yonim b'ma'amarohem teluyim. Like, who's this going? We learned in a braisa that the upper waters are held up there b'ma'amaro, with the statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Like Rashi quotes in Bereishis, Hashem said Yehi Rekia. When he said Yehi Rekia, that caused the splitting of the upper and the lower waters, and the waters just stood up there once he said, Hashem said Yehi Rekia, so it stays there. B'ma'amaro uperoseim megishamim, and the fruits of those waters are the rain. Sh'ne'emar mipri ma'asecha tisva ha'aretz. Come on, who's that going like? Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the world gets watered from the rain that's up top. The world gets watered from the rain that is up top. So And that's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar, Hahu, but my Seder Shekosh Baruch Hu, Duxiv. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Rabbi Elazar says, no. Actually, the source of Mei Geshamim is this world. So what does the Pasuk mean? Mipri Ma'asecha Tispa Haaretz. It just means that during my separatius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the Mayim HaTachtonim, and that's what causes the world to be sustained. Just means that Hashem created it all. Again, one other idea from Rabbi Rosner, he quoted from the Chidushei Harim. Why do we call a person who's from, we call him Yirei Shamayim, Yiras Shamayim? It should say Yiras Hashem, right? What's Yiras Shamayim? So the Chidushei Harim says, based on this Gemara says that the upper waters stayed there because Hashem said, Rashi quotes in Bereishis, that Hashem said, Yikavu HaMayim, stay right up there. And for the last all the years of the world, the upper waters have been staying up there because of Hashem's words. Stay there, Yikavu HaMayim. So that's why we call it Yiras Shamayim, that we're supposed to listen to Hashem the same way the Shamayim listen to Hashem. That the Shamayim, once Hashem said, stay there, they stood there. They don't move. They separated the heavens from the earth, separated Yiras Shamayim, so we should be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way the Shamayim was. Just like the Shamayim never moved, it listened to Hashem, it stays up there. So too, that's the level of service that we're supposed to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. From the Chidushei Harim, one of the Ger Rebbe's. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Mitamtzis Gan Eden Hushosa. All the world gets watered from the leftover water of Gan Eden. Shnemar, Pasuk says, V'nahar yotze mei Eden lahashka sesagan, and that's the river that turns into the other four rivers of the world that brings water to the rest of the world. Tana mitamtzis beis kor shosa tarkav. So the one says this works out nicely because from the leftover waters of a jug that you usually feed a beis kor, which is 30 kav, you could feed a tarka. I'm sorry, 30 sa. From a leftover water that you could feel a feel of a base core, which is 30 sa, so you could feed a tarkav, a half a kav, which is 1/60th of 30 sa. It's one sixty. I'm sorry, a half a sa, 3 kavin, which is 1/60th of 30 sa. A half a sa is 1/60th of 30 sa. It's tarkav is 3 kavin. That's a half a saw, because there's 6 saw in a kav. So there's 6 kav in a saw. So there's 6 kav in a saw. So a half a saw, 3 kav is a half a saw. So 30 saw would be 1/60th. So usually, if you have a jug with 1/60th, you could water with the leftovers. You could water 1/60th. So it makes sense that the world is watered with 1/60th of the water of Gan Eden, as we're going to see in a minute. Tanu Rabban, Eretz Mitzrayim, Havi Abram, Meos Parsa, Abram, Meos Parsa. Mitzrayim is 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa. V'hu Echad Mishishim B'Kush. Mitzrayim is 1/60th of Kush. V'Kush Echad Mishishim Ba'olam. Kush is 1/60th of the rest of the world. V'olam Echad Mishishim B'Gan. And the world is 1/60th of Gan, that was in Eden. V'gan echad mishishim le'Eden. And the Gan was 1/60th of Eden, right? Gan be'Eden, so the Gan was in Eden. V'Eden echad mishishim le'Gehenim. And Eden is 1/60th the size of Gehenim. Nimtza kol ha'olam kulo kisui kedera le'Gehenim. Turns out that the entire world is like just like a cover of a pot of Gehenim. It's like a very small part of Gehenim. V'yeshomim Gehenim ein lashir v'yeshomim Eden Ein Lashir. The Rambam quotes this Gemara that Mitzrayim is 400 parsas by 400 parsas. What's the nafka mina lahalacha? The Rambam quotes this, you're not allowed to live in Egypt. There's an isser to live in Egypt. And the question is, how could the Rambam have lived in Egypt? That's a whole discussion. The Rambam used to sign his tshuvas, me, Rabbi Moshe, who violates 3 surim every day. That's the way he used to sign his tshuvas, the Rambam says, because he lived in Egypt. So that was one of them. So it's 400 parsas. If you measure from the Yama Gadol, you measure 400 parsas, that's the land that's considered to be Egypt. The other interesting point here is that it sounds like the world is 1/60th of Gehenim, But there is a Ramban in his commentary on Chumash who says that Gehenna is on this earth. I'm sorry, that Gan Eden. It says here the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden. Now there is a Ramban that the Ramban says in Bereishis Perakim on Pasuk Chaf Beis that Gan Eden is a place on this earth. So what do you mean? The Gemara here says that the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden. So if the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden, how could Gan Eden be a place on this earth? We learned earlier that there's an opening to Gan Eden is in the Gay Ben Hinnom, that's the entrance, but that Gan Eden itself is, you know, this Gemara sounds like it's too big. So in the Sefer Rav Pa'olim, so he says, well, maybe there's places on this earth that not everybody has been to, and we know that the Aron didn't take up any space on this earth, so there must be some place on this world where you could sort of like get in there and then you could go into this place which is even greater than the world. It's just, it doesn't take up space, something along those lines. But anyway, interesting question about whether or not Gan Eden is on this earth or it's 60 times the size of this earth. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rav Hoshaya, my dechsev, shochanta al mayim rabim rabas otsaros, bavel dwells near a place of lots of water and therefore it has a lot of storehouses. Migar al mabavel shiotosem leos bar. What caused Bavel to produce so much wheat? Because Bavel is in a very low-lying area, and all the rivers and oceans flow down into it, so it always has a lot of water, and that's why it produces a lot of produce. Amarav, Asida Bavel, Asira Bavel, Bavel is wealthy, Ashir, Techatzta below Mitra, because you could water it without rain, because it's right near all the oceans, and it's so low down, everything flows there. Amarabai, Nakitinan, we have a tradition, Tovani velo yovshani. Bavel is always wet and it's never dry because it always has the water there. Let's continue back to when do we say the same talamata? Says the Mishnah. Bishloshav ma'cheshvan sholan asak shamim. On the third day ma'cheshvan, we start saying the same talamata. Ram Gamliel Omer b'shivabo. On the seventh of ma'cheshvan. Chamisha sayom. Achar Hachag, it's the seventh of Marcheshvan, which is 15 days after Sukkot. Kedei sheyagia achron shebi Yisrael l'nahar paras. It's on the 15th, so that it's on the seventh of Marcheshvan, 15 days after Yontif, so that the last member of the Jewish people can reach Nahar Paras. Says the Gemara, Rami Lazar halacha Rabban Gamliel. We follow Rabban Gamliel. Now, says the Meiri, what does it mean you got to wait for the last person to reach Nahar Paras? Says the Meiri, that's referring to the people who hung out in Yerushalayim for the entire Yontif. Now from his words, for those people, sounds like there's no obligation to do that. Tosis and the Rishash asks against this, and Tosis seems to say, no, there's a chiv to stay in Yerushalayim for the whole Yontif. You have to eat Shalmei Simcha all Yontif. Lina requires you to stay there all Yontif. Some apparently say Lina's only the first night. That's the Meiri sounds like, but most of the Rishonim say, no, you have a chiv to stay there the whole Yontif, because there's a chiv to eat the Shalmei Simcha. And therefore, it means that you have to wait till everybody left Yerushalayim there. Now, Rashi and Meiri seem to say that there's a... Now, from the fact that it says, till they got to Nahar Paras, they seem to say that there's a chiv of Aliyah L'Regel on people who live outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it sounds like. Until the last people get to Nahar Paras, Rashi explains, because you don't want Nahar Paras to rise too high so that the people who live outside Eretz Yisrael can't go past Nahar Paras to get back to their homes. If it wouldn't rain so much by the 15 days afterwards, it wouldn't be so high, so even the people in Chutz La'aretz can get home. However, Rashi and Bamatzi and the Bar Tanur and Tosas and Pesachim Daf Gimel Amud Beis say no. There's only a chiv of Aliyah L'Regel to the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. So when this Mishnah says, until the people can get to Nahar Paras is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, it means everyone in Israel should be able to get home. Not people who, not that you have to go past Nahar Paras, but you just want you just want people to be able to get home to Eretz Yisrael. Even though Eretz Yisrael seems to be longer than a 15-day journey. So they address that as well. Now, this would seem to make sense during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So after the Churban, we should ask for rain even earlier because no one's coming back from Aliyah L'Regel. So some say no. What this Gemara means is that this is the ideal time for rain, and the symbol is that people got back to the Haparatz. It's not because we only waited for them to actually get there, but that's just a proof that this is the ideal time for rain, and therefore, even after the Churban, we would still start then. The Rif and the Rambam say, even after the Churban, we start for a different reason. The Rif and the Rambam say that that people like to go to Yerushalayim even after the Churban. So we still don't want to ask for rain when they're on their way, when they're on their way back.
What about the farmers who might need to get still fall? So we go apple picking in the fall. So there's still stuff on the trees. Maybe we don't want rain to keep them doing work.
So okay, but it's still you got to have the rain. In Eretz Yisrael, you need the rain to grow. You need the rain for the stuff to grow. Chutz Laretz, maybe not. We'll get to that in a minute. Tanya, Chanani Omer, Uvagola, either in Bavel or everywhere else outside of Eretz Yisrael, then we don't start on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, Uvagola, Ad Shishim Bitkufa, 60 days after the Tkufas Tishrei, I think it's the equinox. Now, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chia, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kechananya. So Rav Huna Bar Chia says, name is Shmuel, the Halacha is like Chananya, that it's 60 days after the autumnal, I think it's called the autumnal equinox. One second. Ini, is that really true? Vahabo mine Shmuel, Meimas Mad Karinon, Visein Talamatar, Amar Luhu, Miki Ma'ali Tzibil Abay Tavas Rishba, from the time that Tavas, who was a bird catcher, a bird hunter, when he used to bring in his wood. So isn't that the time? Because he protected from the rain. And the Gemara, maybe it's the same time. That's the time. Ibayilu, the Gemara wants to know, Yom Shishim Kilifne Shishim, O Kalacha Shishim. Is day 60 like before? After Tashma, Rav Omar, Yom Shishim Kilacha Shishim. Rav says, you do say the same Talmud on the 60th day. Ushmuel Omar Yom Shishim Kilifne Shishim. And Shmuel says, you don't say it. It's like the day before. The way to remember this is Ilo Bo Maya Rav, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and that didn't need as much rain. It was higher up, so they need rain, so he would say the extra day. Tatai Lo Bo Maya. But in Bavel, where they had a lot of rain, they didn't need as much, so they would start the day after. Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa Yom Shishim Kalacha Shishim. That you do say it on the 60th day. Now, one interesting thing I noticed here is. What do you mean 60 days from the autumnal equinox? Autumn is, our tradition is it's the 21st day of September. 60 days from the 21st day of September comes out November 22nd, approximately November 23rd. So where's December 4th? So apparently, do a little history again. I didn't research the entire history, but in the Sefer Tameh Minhagim, he writes, unbelievable, that in the year 1582, the Pope added 12 days to the calendar. Unbelievable. It was November 22nd. He decreed it's going to be October. He added days. I'll read it to you here. So most of the poskim, they quote the date of the 22nd of November as the day to start saying the same Talmuter. He writes, I'm reading here from the Sefer Tameh Minhagim in Yonei Shmini Atzeres. Ula'olam aschilim chaf beis November. The 22nd of November, you're supposed to start saying, according to the count of the months of Russia, L'chadshe Rusya. February is 28 days. Whenever the following February is going to be 29 days, that's when we do December 5th. We do December 4th if it's a 28-day month. If the following February is going to be leap month, we do December 5th. Also February, so then it's 22nd November. But if February is going to be 29 days, then it's 23rd of November. Fine. Now, Bahavil Adas, you should know that in the year Shin Mem Gimel, that's 5343. In the year 5343, which was the year 5782. La'elaf Hashishi. No, 5343, I'm sorry. 1582 is what I meant to say. In the year 5343, which was the year 1582. Kam Ha'apifior. I think that means the Pope. The Pope got up to Ir Romi in Rome. He He said that they had to change the calculation of the year. Uvi Yom Dal v'Chodesh October, on the fourth day of October, Bishnas Shin Mem Gimel, in that year, he gave a commandment that the next day would be the Uvi Yom Dal v'Chodesh October, Nasan Sab, that the next day, that should have been the fifth day of October, to consider it the 15th day of October. He decided to take the fifth day of October, make it into the 15th of October, Uladaleg b'cheshbon asara yamim, and to skip 10 days out of the calendar. And then they made another decree that they were going to catch up once every 100 years. So if you do the calculation, that's why when the 1900s started, we became December 4th. You do the calculation. This was in the 1500s. At the 1600s, they added another day. The 1700s, another day. The 1800s, another day. The 1900s, another day. So that's why we get to December 4th from November 22nd. That's how we get there. Again, I don't know all the details of this. I have to check up.
That was Pope Gregory, and that's why it's called the Gregorian calendar.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. What?
Today's November
22nd. So today's the day we would have, because again, from September 21st, 60 days, you get November 22nd. But apparently, Pope Gregory. Okay, thank you. That's why it's the Gregorian calendar. So apparently it changed in the year 1582. Google it. I didn't have a chance to Google it, but hopefully Google could help us out and understand a little bit more. Why did the Pope decide to add those 10 days to the calendar?
Because we get it right and they don't. Because they just made a leap year every 4 years without making any adjustment for that. And it was getting further and further away.
Oh, so that's the adjustment. That's why they made the adjustment.
Yeah.
In other words, to match the months.
The seasons with the months.
Right, they wanted to match, right? By keep on adding a day every 4 years, it was a little bit off.
Right.
It was a little bit off. Okay, good. So that was the adjustment. Okay, Ty, maybe I'll try to look it up if I have time, try to give a little more explanation of that. But anyway, I thought it was fascinating. And I liked it. I was trying to figure out why, if it's 60 days from the autumnal equinox, doesn't fit. We start autumn on September 21st, so 60 days is November 22nd. So how do you get to October? Okay. Let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Oh boy, we're late. Okay, here we go. Says the Mishnah. Higia shivasav marcheshon v'lo yodu gushom. If the 17th day of marcheshon came and it didn't rain yet, hischilu hayichidim misana shalosh taniyos. So the individuals, the tamidi chachamim, would start fasting three fast days, minor fast days. Ochlu mishosu mishichashecha. They would eat and drink at the night. Umutarin b'malacha, you're allowed to do work over rechitza, showers, v'sicha, deodorant, v'nil, sasandal, wearing leather shoes, v'tashin amit to marital relations. Zegirosh chodesh kislev, v'lo yodug sham, if kislev came, didn't rain, Beznin goes in shalosh tanis el tzibur, Beznin would decree three fast days, sheni chamishi b'sheni, ochle v'shot mishich hashecha, these are public fast days, you would eat at night, umutarin b'malacha, rechitza v'sicha, niyasan tashin amit. Says the Gemara, man yichidim, who are the yichidim who would fast? Ravuna, Rabbanan, the rabbis. Ravuna, yichidim, sana, shlosh, tanil, sheni, chen, shi, visheni, Monday, Thursday, Monday. My kamashlan, tanine, goes in tanis al tzibur, but chil, bechamishi, shalof, kies, asharm. Yeah, you don't start on a Thursday because that's going to make a run on the prices because they're going to have a big meal Thursday night and Shabbos. Ela, shlosh, tanis, the rishonos, visheni, bechamishi, visheni. Says, Gemara, ma'od, same, hanemi, libitzibur. You might have thought that's only for a public fast, abo, yachid, lo, kamash, balan. Even the fast of the rabbis, they would start on a Monday, not on a Thursday. When the rabbis started to fast, they would go Monday, Thursday, Monday. They would not fast if one of those days fell out on a Rosh Chodesh. And all the holidays written in Megillas Tainus and Chanukah. Nowadays, Chanukah and Purim, they also would not fast. Tanu Rabbanan. Al Yom Adam Tamid Aniv Eni Royal Yos Yachid. A person shouldn't say, I'm a Torah scholar, but I'm not such a big Torah scholar, and I'm not going to fast. Ela kol tamidi chacham yichidim. All tamidi chachamim are considered to be yichidim. Ezu yachid, ezu tamid chacham. What's the difference between a yachid and a tamid chacham? Yachid kol shavu adam manos panas al tzibur. A yachid is roy to be appointed in a leadership position to be a rabbi. Tamid chacham kol shalom sot dvar halacha b'limudo v'omer. If they ask him on his learning and he knows it, afilu mesechta dekala. Some say it means even such a hard mesechta like mesechta dekala, or even an easy mesechta, like Masech to the Kal. Tana Rabbanan. Lo kol rotz lasas miyachid oseh. Not everyone who wants to make himself to be considered like a yachid can do it. Talmid oseh. And similarly, not everyone who wants to make himself like a Talmud Chacham, to dress like a Talmud Chacham, not everyone who wants to should do it. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Rabbi Yossi says, oseh. V'zachel atov. If you want to fast, it's a good thing. But v'she'ein shevach hulo, el atzar hulo. Just because you're volunteering to fast, you're not getting any great covet out of this. You're just fasting. So that's a good thing that you want to fast on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Tani Yidach. We learned that another brisa supporting this. Lo kol rotz lasas miyachid oseh. Not everyone who wants to make himself out to a leader can make himself. Talmud oseh. Not everyone makes him out to be a Talmud Chacham and dress a certain way. So he makes himself to Reb Shimon ben Lazar, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ben Medzvar Mamurim, B'davar Shel Shevach, to something that's gives you pride, that's something that's praise. So then we're afraid you're going to look arrogant. Avol B'davar Shel Tzar, but fasting, oseh. So if you think you're a Talmud Chacham, you fit the bill, then you should do it. V'zachal atov, she'ein shevach ulo el atzar ulo. You're just adding fast. It's not going to cause arrogance. Tana Rabbanan. Mishaya mis'ane al hatzara v'avra. A person was fasting on a bad thing that happened, and then it passed. Al achole v'nisrape. You were fasting for a chole who, and he got healed, or he died in the middle of the fast. Ha'izim mis'ane mashlam. You should finish the fast. It shouldn't look bad that, oh, I was just fasting for this. Now I'm not fasting anymore. The fasting should be a sincere effort of tshuva. Let's say in one town they were fasting for rain, another town they weren't. Maybe because they had rain there, they didn't have had rain there, they're there. So you have to follow them and hug him of the place that you go to. You should fast with them. Same thing. If you're going from a place where they were fasting to a place that they're not fasting, so again, you should complete your fast. You have to observe the minhagim of both the place that you're going to and the place that you came from. Shachach, v'ochal v'shasal, let's say it's on a fast day, a person forgot, and he ate. Al yisrab v'nei atzibur. Don't show yourself in front of everybody else. Oh, you're so happy you ate. V'ayanig idunim ba'atzman. Don't just keep eating. Shneamar, v'yom yakal v'manav lama tisro. You guys have food, the rest of the world doesn't. Don't show off. Don't be seen in public when you have food and everybody else doesn't. They shouldn't be jealous of you that you have food. And a few more things that Yosef said to his brothers. On the way back to get Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Lam Yosef Lechav, Al Tisasku B'dvar Halacha. Don't learn halacha along the way. Because if you get too involved in a halachic discussion along the way, you're going to lose your way. Now, the Medrash quotes on this pasuk the opposite. Al tafsiku midvar halacha. So says Taisus here, Dira Maskel. Al tirguz derech v'yesh medrash al tafsiku midvar halacha. No, you should learn. That fits in with another Gemara where the Gemara says they're always supposed to be learning. Let's see the Gemara. Inni, is this really so? You're not supposed to learn halacha along the way? Two Tamidi Chamor were going along the way and they're not learning Torah. Ruinly Sarif, they deserve to be burned. Elisha and Eliyahu were walking. Halach Vidaber, they were speaking Torah. And the chariot of fire came down and separated between them. Why were they saved? Time with Digadiba, they were talking Torah. Halach Adiba Ruinly Sarif, they weren't talking Torah, they should have been burnt. Answer the Gemara Lokasha, Halamigris, Hal Iyune. To review your learning, which doesn't take a lot of thought, that you should do when you're on the road. But to learn Be'iyun, to sit there and analyze and debate, that you should not do along the road, because that's going to cause you to lose your way. B'masnisa Tana, other advice for travelers, Al Tafsiu P'siu Gasa, don't take large steps, it comes off as arrogance, V'achnisu Chama L'ir. And you should only travel during the daylight. Al tafsiu p'siyagas. The Ramah, p'siyagas tells, echad mechamesh meyas mimorein evshel adam. Taking large steps takes away 1/500th of your eyesight. And when you look at the Shabbos candles on Friday night, you get it back. V'chnisu cham al'ir, k'dravidam arav, d'amravidam arav. Lolom yesi adam b'chitov, yikadis b'chitov. A person should always leave while the tov, the or, is. You should travel during the day. At night, it's more dangerous. Yikadis b'chitov. You should finish your journeys while it's light. Shneimar haboker or v'hanashim shulchu. When it was light, they went along the the way. A little more. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chia, Hamahalach b'derech hayochal yosar mishnei ravon. Persons traveling shouldn't eat more than he would eat in a year of famine. My time, hachatag mishum mayonah. Some say you shouldn't have to go to the bathroom. But my Rava asri mishum mezone. You should have enough food for the journey. My benai, what's the difference? Ekevenayu diyasid ba'ar. If you're on a boat. Because if you're on a boat, you still need enough for the journey, but we're not worried that it's going to mess you up with the bathroom. Inami, deka'azil me'avna la'avna. If you're going from inn to inn, so you'll be able to buy more food there. So according to the thing of having to go to the bathroom for eating on the road, that you'll still have the problem. But in terms of having enough food, you'll be able to get more food. Rav Papa, kol parso parso ochachada rifta. Rav Papa, I think, was also a baal basar. He was a fat guy. So every mile along the way, he would eat another loaf of bread. Kasavar mishum mayana. He held it was a bathroom issue, and therefore he wasn't worried because he was a very stout individual, so he could handle the food, and that's why he used to eat every mile. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
What were the other two things that the Rambam did wrong every day?
What were the other two things that the Rambam did wrong every day? Oh. I...